You know, one of the blessings and also one of the curses when you ask the youth pastor to do the sermon time is you never know exactly what you're going to get. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to hear from two of our young adults. I'm calling them young adults now because they're out of high school. Two of our young adults who have gone for a summer internship at Door of Faith Orphanage, which we as a church support. We as a church have gone down to with our high schoolers. And so they're going to come up and share a little bit about their experiences here that they've done at Door of Faith. Also, if you look at your bulletin, the scripture verse, James 1, 27, that's actually the tagline of the orphanage. So, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So we're going to turn it over to Abigail and Cassidy for a little bit, and then we're going to do a little bit of a Q&A time here.
Okay, so I'm Cassidy, and this is Abigail. So we went down to Door of Faith Orphanage in La Nación, Mexico, 5 days after we graduated high school, and spent 6 weeks there as part of their internship program. I heard about it because I went on the high school mission trip that our church goes on my freshman year of high school, and I absolutely loved it. And so I've really been wanting to go back. We weren't able to go back because of COVID restrictions, but I heard about the summer internship that they had, and so I was super excited, and I felt a lot of peace, and I really felt God leading me there, and he really just put everything together very smoothly for both of us to go.
Yeah, so I heard about it from Cassidy, and I had been wanting to do an internship in Mexico since, I think, like the beginning of my junior year. I just really wanted to go down to Mexico. I had gone down to Mexico my sophomore year and couldn't wait to get back. So I just had researched multiple internships, and DOFO kept coming up, and I was like, okay, well, but then hearing Cassidy talking about it, and she just, when she came home, she was like, you literally saw God doing all this amazing things, and she was only there for 1 week, and I was like, wow, imagine 7 weeks down there. So that just really motivated me to want to go down there. So now we're going to tell you a little bit about what the internship is. So as interns, our main job was to host American groups, and hosting American groups was how we supported the Mexican staff. So we hosting groups meant we gave them a tour of the orphanage. We oversaw what projects they did. We communicated with other ministries. We cleaned the campgrounds, saw a lot of big bugs. And so yeah, that was mostly the internship. But we also did other things like office duties. So we worked on the mail and just saw everything that goes into a ministry. And probably the best job ever that we had was getting to play with the kids. So that was the best job.
Yeah, and then also part of the internship, we got to do a lot of work offsite, and so we went to church, and we would sometimes help with their children and youth ministries, and we would do other ministry work other places, and we also got to go on a lot of tours of different ministries around the area. And it was really just an overall great experience, being able to see God's provision in all of the ministries, because they're all funded by donations. And so just seeing all the missionaries and their trust in God to provide, and God's provision in return, was just really amazing to see. And we also just want to thank all of you for all the support you've given us, from providing us with a scholarship to praying for us and giving us words of encouragement. We are truly so thankful to have such a supportive church.
Great. All right, now we're going to move into a little bit of a question and answer time. If you have questions for Abigail or Cassidy, don't shout them out. What we'll do is at the end, you can go back, and we have a table back there with some pictures. They'll be back there, so you can ask them whatever questions you might have on your mind. So one question I have on my mind is, you all have done some mission work with children before, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have volunteered at the middle school youth group here, starting around my sophomore year, and then I do a lot of children's ministry work at another church, Squim Bible Church. I also attend Squim Bible Church, and so I've been doing that since like seventh grade.
And I have also been very involved. I've been a leader for the children's ministry since sixth grade, and until I became an intern for the children's ministry. And I've also been helping with the middle school youth group.
Yeah, brag on Cassie and Abigail here for a little bit. They have worked with the middle schoolers and just very go with the flow. You know, I come in with these crazy ideas. Let's drop ice cream from the ceiling, and they're just totally go for it. So. Really amazing for that, and also brag a little bit more about Cassidy. When Jennifer was on her maternity leave, Cassidy and another high schooler, they both took over that ministry for a couple months, which was really amazing to see two high schoolers, you know, leading that. Really incredible. So, Door of Faith Orphanage, which we've taken our high schoolers to before. Some other people have gone from our church as well. And when a lot of people think about an orphanage, maybe not the picture of Door of Faith they might have in their mind. So can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to be there at Door of Faith? What's the compound like, those sort of things?
So Door of Faith is one of the biggest orphanages, actually. One of the reasons is because they can care for all ages, but they have about 100 acres of property. They have 58 separate buildings, and they take care of about 130 kids. 108 of those are under 18, and I would say like 20 of those are under 3 years old. But what makes it really, so it runs a lot like the foster care system in the United States, except the kids are there until they turn 18, or if they go to college, they can stay there even longer in their, in a different housing place. But also what makes them different is they just focus, first of all, they don't get any donations from the Mexican government, like at all. They get no money from the Mexican government. That goes for all orphanages. But they really focus on making it home, and they've always put God first in everything that they do and how they care for the kids. God is very involved, and you see his blessings through donations and the American groups that come. So.
Yeah, and it's really like a mini village there. There's a barber shop, there's a bakery, so we can bake cakes for every kid's birthday. There's a gym, a soccer field, a playground. There's a doctor for non-emergency needs. There's the dorm rooms where kids are separated by gender and age, and they live with their house parents. There's a cafeteria for them to all eat. And there's like different housing for Mexican and American staff, as well as campgrounds for groups that come down and serve.
Yeah, the campus, it's truly amazing, the amount of things they have there. Tell us a little bit about your living experience on the campus. What was eating like? What was living there like?
So there were 7 female interns, and we all shared a house with 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom.
So 1 bathroom for 7 people.
Yes.
That is, you are working on your patience there, you know. God's working.
We were. We gained some patience. But yeah, there's like a little living area with the few couches and a kitchen. For food, we were able to eat all our meals with the kids in the cafeteria if we wanted to. But we also went grocery shopping every week, so we could buy our own groceries if we wanted to make a meal ourselves or just have snacks. Abigail and I personally enjoyed eating most of our meals with the kids in the cafeteria, except for breakfast or if we were busy.
Right on. So What sort of unique experiences did you do while you're in Mexico? You obviously spent a lot of time on the compound, but did you get out at all? Did you go see the country? What were some of those unique experiences or excursions you might have done?
So we did a lot of like mission work off-site, so we did go and experience things that way. But every Thursday we had like a day off, I guess, and so we did like do a road trip, and we'd go to Tijuana, or we'd go to Ensenada, and we'd go shopping, or we'd go out to cool places to eat. There was like this one time where it was just this coffee shop with a bunch of board games, and so that was like a good time to spend with the other interns. But the best thing that I will always remember is our last day off, we went to Ensenada, and we went ziplining, and it was really cool because Cassie and I were attached for the last zipline, so we went really fast.
I don't know what's scarier, ziplining or working with 140 kids. I don't know, those both sound kind of terrifying. Well, right on. So you talked a little bit about your, you know, kind of fun excursions being off-site, but it sounds like you also did some off-site work as well. Can you tell us a little bit about those experiences?
Yeah, so we did a lot of different, we toured a lot of different ministries, and we also, like, did other ministry work. So we went to a poor community nearby and, like, hosted, like, a mini carnival. So we, like, had lunch, and we did crafts and had a blow-up house. Bounce house? Yes. And Abigail did face paint, so that was really fun. One of our favorite places that we got to go to was the Canyon, which is a very poor community in Tijuana, and people have built cardboard houses on an old dump. And so we went there to hand out some dispensas, which are just like care packages with food, and pray for them. And there's a guy named Dave who runs a ministry down there, and he invited us to share about his ministry, and he remembered Squim, which is really cool. He said we like to pray a lot.
That's awesome.
It was just really cool going to the Canyon because like their family invited us to eat breakfast with them, and they went and prayed with us when we went out to deliver the dispensas, and just seeing their hospitality despite their circumstances was very inspiring and eye-opening. Just like they were so full of God's love, and like the only thing that mattered was loving God and loving people, and it didn't matter what their circumstances were like, they could still do that.
Yeah, I feel like when we take our high schoolers, that's always a really powerful experience. We go to the Canyon, and the Canyon is basically just built on an old garbage dump. So people take whatever they can find out of this dump, and they build a house out of it. And it's just amazing the hospitality, and people invite you in, and they share what they have, what little they have. And it's just sometimes the wake-up call that, you know, we have our iPhones and our computers and everything, and we're unhappy with those, and these people have basically nothing and are still very joyous, which is really amazing to see. So what would you say is something that God taught you on this trip, or a way that you grew during your time in Mexico?
So going down to Mexico, I wasn't really sure why I was there. Going down to an orphanage. I love children's ministries and I love kids, but I've never felt particularly called like that was my ministry. That's where I was going to help the most. So I was very confused. And well, anyways, we were at our church, and we were singing a song, and it was in Spanish. And the first line of the chorus, I remember, it was, "I will worship, I will worship, I will worship you here." And that word "here" was very convicting for me. I was like, okay, God, you just answered my question. I see what you did there, because I felt God working in my heart at that moment. I was just like, that's why I'm here. I'm here to worship God. He has called me here, and this is where I'm supposed to be, and it doesn't matter no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to worship God here. And I think going on into, like, I'm going to George Fox University, and I'm like, and that's my mission. As I'm going on in life, I know that my main goal is to worship God through my actions and through my words.
I think one of the biggest things God taught me was the importance of relationships. I think sometimes, at least for me, it can be easy to want to go in and like do the work, but actually building relationships with the people around you is the most impactful part for everyone involved. It's not only like shows the people that you're serving that you care about them, but I've found that we can learn so much from them as well. And especially in like service, building relationships is so important. Because being honest with the people you're serving can help you learn how to serve them best. And so like one example is a local missionary down in Mexico was talking about how sometimes groups want to come down and they want to hand out water to a poor community. And that sounds like a great idea, but that would actually be putting a family out of work. Hmm. And so if you build a relationship with a local missionary, then they can tell you that maybe a better idea would be to hire the family who sells the water and hand out water with them. Hmm. And so I think it's just amazing how a simple change by having a relationship can be so impactful.
Yeah, definitely the importance of relationships in ministry mm-hmm. can't be understated. Mm-hmm. So something that happens a lot, you go on a mission trip like this and you get the mission high and you're like, yes, and you really feel God. And sometimes you come back and it's kind of hard to keep that going. So I guess my question for you all would be, how do you see yourself continuing to grow and learn from God now that you're back in the States?
Yeah, I feel like what just Cassidy said with relationships, I feel like my servant's heart has changed, because when I was going there, I was expecting, you know, to build a house or carry gallons of water up a big hill, and like I just expected that it would be work, a lot of physical work, and I didn't realize how important making connections was, and that ultimately things aren't what matter, it's the connection that you make with people matters. So once again, it's like wherever God is placing me, I'm just going to know that he's placing me for the reason to connect with people. Like our ultimate goal should be to reach out to people, and no matter where we are in the whatever part of the world we're in, we can do that, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I really think just having a servant's heart and being open to serve God and wherever you are is just really important, and just being present with people, I think, has a big impact.
Yeah, I love your answer, because I feel like that's how Jesus did ministry. Jesus didn't, you know, say, okay, this hour's for ministry, and then this is everything else. It's just, he did ministry wherever he was. You know, he's eating a meal, and hey, let me tell you a story about what the kingdom of God is like, or he's traveling, and he meets someone who needs help, and he helps them. You know, I think sometimes we think, okay, mission is this part of life, and then we have the rest of life. But, you know, it sounds like maybe a better Christian perspective is mission is how we view all of life. So what was your time working with the kids like? What was that experience?
Working with the kids was the best part. Mm. Whether it was, you know, just, again, building connections, because these kids have so much love to give. Like, we'd come down in the mornings, because our house was on a hill. So when we were starting walking the hill, there was a point where the kids could all run up and meet us, and they'd, like, put their arm around you while you're walking down, and it was so sweet. And so whether we're playing chalk or jump rope, it was just building those connections. For me, the way I built the closest connection is my hair was about 2 feet longer when I was in Mexico, and so they'd always, like, mucho pelo, and they'd always want to, like, braid my hair, and boys and girls just all around me grabbing a chunk of my hair. Let's say I had to brush my hair a lot in the evening afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah, most of our time was just spending time with the kids, but we also did other things like host movie nights, and we did a reading program, so each intern had a few kids that they spent individual time with just practicing their reading. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. They loved being pushed on the swings, which was not only great for my physical health, but got to practice counting in Spanish, I also liked doing some calmer activities, like we'd print out coloring pages and color with the kids. One of my favorite things, and one of the kids really liked to play card games, so we'd play like Old Maid or Spoons, and it was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. So you talk a little bit about your interactions with the kids. How about your interactions kind of in the broader area in terms of, were there any like culture shocks, or was anything that kind of surprised you about being in Mexico?
Yeah, so besides not being able to flush the toilet paper, I thought something really, really amazing to see. You just really see God, and this is one of the things that we talk about when people are like, how did you see God move? Well, there's a bunch of ministries in the area. There's Silhouette, Strong Tower, DOFO, like they're all different ministries, but they call themselves one ministry because they're there to serve the same community, to serve the same God, and their willingness to help, even if one ministry looks like it is more successful than the other, the less successful one will give to that. Or I say that with quotes because none of them are less successful because they are one ministry. And they're just ready to give, and there's no trying to do better than the other.
Yeah, I think it was kind of surprising just because I feel like a lot of times here it's all, like, there are great ministries and they're trying to grow their ministry, which is great, but I think over there, they're all about growing God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool to see them working together and, like, telling groups about other ministries, not worrying about if the group will start helping the other ministry, but just trusting in God and knowing that He will provide.
So it sounds like sometimes in America you see a little more competition between ministries, and in Mexico you see a little more cooperation between ministries. Yeah, I think that's definitely something we should strive for, and realize we're all on the same team, I think, is really important. So you spend a lot of time with kids, you spend a lot of time in a foreign culture. I'm sure there is something funny that happened during the trip. What's a funny moment you'd like to share with us?
Well, one night there was an earthquake.
Wait. Earthquake is the funny thing that happened.
Well, it wasn't like, it didn't damage
anything. Okay, all right. Just wanted to clarify.
But in the morning, everyone was talking about, like, there was an earthquake last night. I woke up and so confused. And Abigail and I were confused because we're like, we didn't feel an earthquake. But we were pretty sure it's because we are the only ones who share a bunk bed, and so we were already used to each other shaking the bed a lot.
It sounds like one of you all might be a snorer, That's why you didn't even notice the earthquake. Somebody was snoring a little too much. So, it's so great getting those really fun experiences, and, a really amazing, fun experience is being worship in other cultures. And so, mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what was it like being, going to a church service or, doing church services on the orphanage?
Yeah, so there was a chapel on site, and on site, I mean, like, at the orphanage. And something really cool is that they all go there to worship as a family. Like, it's like, if your whole family came to church and you filled up the whole church. So it's just cool because they have that connection as a family and they get to worship God together. And an amazing experience for me is I love to lead worship. So I got to lead worship while I was down there and in Spanish. So I was singing in Spanish. So that definitely improved my Spanish skills. And it was just cool. I got to also play the cajon, which is like this box drum. So, that started up a conversation with the kids. They're like, ha-ha, you're hitting a box. And so it's just a really fun experience that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and then we would also attend a local church. And so Sundays and Wednesdays, we would go to their service. And I really loved the worship time because it was bilingual worship. So we were worshiping in Spanish and English. And it was just really cool to be able to be worshiping with people in two different languages, but we're all worshiping the same God. And so that just, it was really cool. And sometimes we would also help with the children and youth ministries, services on Sunday mornings. And every Friday there was a youth group, so some of us would help with that.
Amazing. So earlier on in our interview, you talked a little bit about relationships being a really important part of ministry. Who are some people you connected with during your time in Mexico?
So there was this patio worker, her name was Becky, and she's from Ensenada, and she was very patient with my Spanish, and I was getting to know her story. She's from Ensenada, and she had worked a bunch of different jobs, and she was so happy to working here because she felt so loved by other people and could return the love to them. And as I was getting to know her, I asked her, so what do you do in your free time? And she laughed. She's like, what's free time, you know? she's like, because if I'm not cleaning, I'm chasing a little two-year-old boy around the playground. But then she was like, I like to draw. And she showed me some of her drawings. And you really could see how much she loves people through her drawings. She loves to draw people. And there was people on boats and people playing on the playground. And she would draw the little boys. And it was really cool to see. You could tell she genuinely cared for these people through her drawings and through her actions. So.
For me, I really connected a lot with the kids, especially an 11-year-old girl. She was just always outside, wanting to hang out with me and spend time with me. And sometimes I get a little nervous talking to new people, and so I think God really just put her in my life to give me a friend in a new place, and she was just always there to talk with me, and she was so sweet and super patient with my Spanish, which was good.
So you all spent a lot of time working with the kids, and it was an organization, Christian organization by the name of World Vision, and they put out this statistic that said 90% of people will accept Jesus before their 18th birthday. So other people who are Christians in their adulthood, 90% of them accept Jesus before they turn 18. And I think a lot of us would say working with youth, working with children, really important, training up the next generation. But there always seems to be some hesitancy in getting people to volunteer in these areas. So I guess my question for you all would be, what would you say to someone who's kind of on the fence, like, oh, I'd like to work in children's and youth ministry, but I'm not really sure?
I would just say listen to God. I mean, listen to what he's telling you, because if he is putting it on your heart, you know that he's going to be with you in what he's asking you, because he's not just going to ask you to do something that makes you nervous and then just leave you stranded in a room full of kids, because that's not how God works. So I think just listen to God, because he's going to give you the tools. He's going to give you the wisdom and the peace and the people that you need in the time that you need it. So just listen to God and pray about it.
Yeah, and I would also just say, it can be kind of scary starting to volunteer in a new place, and especially with kids or youth, but I would encourage you that it's a team effort. There are a lot of volunteers that help, and with a team, you're not signing up to run the whole thing by yourself, so. And we all need help sometimes. There's times when I'm in a situation and I need to ask another volunteer to help me. And so just don't be afraid to ask questions, ask for help, and just give it a try.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a great opportunity, give it a try. Dip your toe in Mad Camp in 2 weeks. Great opportunity. Christy paid me $20 to put another plug for that. So I'll take that check in my box here in a little bit. But yeah, I think, you know, training up the next generation can't be understated, you know, and I think that as mature Christians, this is our responsibility, right, to, you know, not leave it to culture, not leave it to other things, but to really be impacting the youth, because we know that's when a lot of great evangelism happens, and set the foundations for what's going to happen in lives in years to come. So final question here, do you see yourself continuing to work in missions in the future?
I could definitely see myself working out of country in missions in the future. Right now, I'm planning to go to college and study Christian ministry, but we will see where God takes me. I would love it if he called me back to Mexico someday.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I would go back to Mexico in a heartbeat. I really loved it down there. And while I was down there, there was a clinic called Silhouette Clinic, and they do so much outreach in so many different ways, and not just, you know, healthcare, but caring about the people and their future health. So diet and exercise and encouraging and what that looks like. And so I thought that was like an amazing ministry that we also visited. We visited a lot of different ministries, but that was definitely my favorite because I feel very called to the medical field. I'm majoring in nursing and would like to continue to help in that way, even if it's in this country or in another country. That definitely be my mission field either way.
Amazing. Let's give them a big round of applause. That was great. You know, I always like to brag about our middle schoolers and high schoolers and tell everyone how great they are. And so it's a really great opportunity for us to bring someone to worship, and you all get to see them and meet them and hear about some of their experiences. You know, at SCC, one of our taglines is that missions can be as close as next door and as far away as the other side of the world. And so obviously we love to hear about when we do missions, you know, outside of America, and we're doing missions, you know, on the other side of the world. But our encouragement to you all and to, you know, everyone here in the service would be, you know, missions doesn't have to be in Mexico if that's what God's calling you to, amazing. But there are a lot of people in the United States, a lot of people in your neighborhood who need to hear about the love of Jesus. So, you know, take this encouragement and look for those people who need to have a little bit of missions in their lives. So thank you all. Let's go to God in prayer. We're going to invite the worship team back up here. Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for today. Thank you that we just get this amazing opportunity to hear about the ways you're working in the world. God, we acknowledge that you're just not the God of Squim. You're not just the God of Washington. You're not just the God of the United States. You're the God of this whole world. And so whatever language people are praying to you in, whether it be English or Portuguese or Italian or Spanish, you're a God who hears all of that, hears all of your children praying. And God, we just ask that you put in all of us a desire to do missions, a desire to reach out to those who need to hear about your love, because we live in a place, we live in a society where there are some people who really need your love. We ask that you would encourage us, you would inspire us to reach the next generation, that we'd be continually planting the seeds for your kingdom to grow and expand your family. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.